Jeffrey Tambor sits in a car. The movie! Jamie?
Yeah?
Let's go watch Saturday the 14th.
And welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. It is here we get together on a bi-weekly basis to talk about a movie from the 1980s. I am one of your hosts. I am Jamie Lorello. The other half of things is DP McCambridge. And
you don't mind if I just like hang out in the car for this entire podcast, right? And then the idea that most of Jeffrey Tambor and his wife are just them in the car. Every time they cut to it, I was like, they're still just in the car.
I love that they become bats and how they become bats, like animated little.
So much voiceover work that I was not expecting in this movie.
This is a very kid-friendly approach. It's a very, like, you have Friday the 19th, which, Friday the 19th, what was that?
Wait,
Friday
I don't know.
Friday the 13th, I was merging things all
scarier.
Together.
Sounds scarier. Right? What were you merging? What is 19?
The night. Okay. I was merging night with 13.
All right, okay, yeah.
So Friday the 13th is what most people call it. I go for the 19th because it's a little more shocking that way.
It gets better that way. So, people You're like, I don't understand. Why are you talking about Friday the 13th? In 6 days, well, it won't be Friday. It'll be Thursday, but still.
So I bet you had a Friday the 19th that was not just as unpleasant as the 13th. I mean, what is it? It's just numbers.
It's just numbers and days. I love it when the kid tears the calendar off to reveal that it's the 14th. He's like, oh, I'll just stick this 13 back up. As though that controls, I guess, the planet.
I love how much they talk about how smart he is. Well, he's the smart one. Billy's the smart one in our family. I don't know. Where's Billy? He's the smart one.
When the dad's like, books. I don't know anything about books. You got to talk to Billy about that. You got to talk to our son who doesn't even seem that smart.
No. But he can levitate at the end, which is pretty
rad. He wasn't doing that.
His face when he was levitating. They clearly told the actor. Am I right? I just watched that scene this morning and I was like, oh my God, this whole movie was worth this, watching this kid.
Did you notice that they must have had him on, I'm going to say, a little forklift? Because when he levitated and got to the top, he kind of bounced. Like it. I'm already sweating. I put on a sweatshirt because it's freezing cold in my basement. I'm already sweating. I didn't, not that there weren't, there were some funny scenes in this. I didn't laugh this hard at any moment of this,
I told you I kept falling asleep in bed. Like I was like, oh, this is so what? Even the monsters, I enjoy. They look like unicorns. They look, if the lights were on, they wouldn't be scary. They'd be colorful and very like Sesame Street almost.
The copy that I watched that was all grainy and gritty and terrible quality really added to this movie and helped it because
I don't even know if I had my contacts in. I'm just kidding. I was taking notes. Of course, my glasses were on. I was attentive to the movie.
Except when you were falling asleep.
But that's why I watched the last 10 minutes this morning because I didn't want to. It was 10 minutes more, and my eyes just, they were done. And I was like, I got to see how this party ends. See, I could have just quit on the movie, but I didn't. I wanted to see how this party ended. And
I was so excited to see that we were about to watch a movie that was like an hour and 15 minutes long.
Well, that's
and,
what's so sad for me. Yeah, I couldn't even make it
like
through.
Five of those minutes are credits. I was like, I can't wait.
Well, yeah.
I had to break this movie up into pieces. I couldn't make it through an just hour couldn't. 10 in one sitting.
You know what? There's just so much to take in.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was too overwhelming. But this is, we are talking about Saturday the 14th. From 1981, and this is the confusing bit about this movie, because now people would assume if you just, like, if we just tell them the title, they would assume it's a riff on the Friday the 13th movies.
Yes, yes.
The first one came out the year before this, so I think, I mean, certainly it's not a riff on that. It's just the idea of Friday the 13th being a bad day.
Right, right.
Because it's more of a send-up of old-timey classic monsters, kind of.
Yeah, but also I can see that.
A man in a gorilla suit.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about this because it is starring. You asked mm-hmm. me who's in this and mm-hmm. why we may know him. The star of the movie is Richard Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live alum, like first season. So they were still trying to figure it out. We know him. He was in one movie that we covered.
Okay.
He was the philandering husband of I don't remember which character in How to Beat the High Cost of Living.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
And he was like a doctor, and there was like a funny scene where he was trying to like have sex with one of his patients, or maybe his wife came in or something. I don't really remember that movie, but he was in that.
Okay.
But how that we really sense. Know him is as a director
of
three movies that we covered.
Wow. Do tell.
One, My Favorite Year.
Oh.
The movie where Cousin Larry Appleton helps a drunken actor, I guess, succeed or something.
Cousin Larry Appleton.
He also directed My Stepmother is an Alien.
Ah.
But the big one, he directed The Money Pit.
Really?
Yes.
How fun.
Director of The Money Pit. And also, in a decade that we're not going to touch on the 90s, he directed Milk Money, a movie I've never seen, but the advertisements were everywhere. Yeah, I think it was about a boy who pays a prostitute to like have sex with his dad or something, based on the commercials I saw from that movie.
Got it.
Someday I'll watch it. Someday I'll finally watch it and be like, oh, this is not what this movie's about at all. And I think he also brings in a show and tell as like a sex display or something.
Oh.
I remember from the preview where he's like, everybody, this is a woman.
So, I see. So this is what, okay. But it's a 90s movie, so we won't cover Milk Money.
Never.
But he's done, that's cool to know that he was SNL, and then I'm sure he's been to other 80s movies as an actor, because I feel like I've seen him in other things that we have not covered yet. That's okay. You don't need to give me his whole
interview. No, but it wasn't as extensive as I thought it was going to be, because I know he looks familiar.
He leaves one of those lasting good impressions. I enjoy him. I have to say,
so do I.
He's as a lead, and even in this, it makes sense SNL, because he delivers his lines in a really comically timed way.
I enjoy this fun fact. Paula Prentice, who plays his wife in this movie,
mm-hmm.
is his wife.
Oh, that is a fun fact. She's actually a lot of fun, too. Like, as much as you want to make fun of... You can't make fun of performances in this movie because this movie is such a spoofy, goofy movie.
Yeah, right.
That she's playing it, like, kind of exactly how she needed to. I mean, the outperformer here is really Billy. I mean, the sister with her little...
Wait, hold on. I will disagree with you right now because...
Really?
I will say... I think...
What a performance Billy puts on. I mean, remember, I'm just talking about,
if you're talking about always being excited, and I can't believe we can't leave this house, where's the book? Who are these people? There's a Gill man. Like, every line is delivered that way.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
If that's what you're into. Okay, all right, I agree.
Because I bet his IMDb is not long at all.
I didn't even look him up.
But I'm just saying, I enjoyed his performance in this.
Every time he's on camera, it appears that he's alone just delivering lines to the camera. I will. The thing I really wanted to say, though, because I do agree with you, I think the wife's performance is amazing in mm-hmm. this movie. She's mm-hmm. really, really, when she is having some sort of bipolar episode over dinner, I loved it so much. And when Van Helsing shows up and she's at the top of the steps and just screams and then runs away, and he's like, that must be your lovely wife. She's doing great.
Yeah, I agree.
I think everybody knows what kind of movie they're in. Everybody is doing it as well as possible. Mm-hmm. The daughter,
you took issue with her.
She was a little bit tough, but she's was very successful. She became most of her work was like on-air news personality and then presenter. Like she would do awards things and stuff like that.
Oh, I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
So her scream wasn't.
You're asking a lot of a teenage girl in these scenes. You're asking her to carry certain scenes and to play off of this kid, to try and react to whatever he's doing. Nobody in this movie, like, this is the thing that I found amazing. Nobody in this movie is reacting the way they should to a haunted house and seeing monsters.
No, no. I like how the mom, for like a bunch of scenes, she's just like, we're going to get curtains. We'll get curtains and it'll all be okay. You'll see what a room full of curtains will do.
Most of this movie is just characters shrugging their shoulders and being exasperated. Like, whatever. What, I don't know why there's monsters screaming on the phone, but it's upsetting.
And, like, the real estate agent that comes back, like, in the middle of the night. Like,
she's dead? I think she's a monster now or something.
I don't know.
This real estate agent is like, listen, people bought this house. I want to sell it to you. I'll come back in, like, 3 hours, and I'm sure they're ready to leave by then.
Yeah, that's how that was the vibe she was picking up, or the sale she was hoping to get.
So if people have never seen this movie, they have no idea. We're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But we're mainly focused on performances. This house, I have to ask you this because I don't know how I feel about this. How do you feel about the house? Just the house, just the look of the house. Would you live here? Do you like this? Like, I felt myself going back and forth depending on what rooms they were in.
Yeah, I agree. I guess it would depend on the room they were in. And I do like when they first arrive at the house and she's looking at the wrong house across the street, which has a beautiful manicured lawn and still has, like, it looks like, you know, it's aged a home, but taken care of and restored well. And then, no, I guess if we're going to analyze the house from the outside, it wouldn't even be a fixer-upper to me. It would be no.
This is a total teardown. I will say the interior looks better than the
exterior.
Once
we get inside, I'm a little more comfortable.
I enjoyed the living area. Wide open, large, spacious.
You like that space?
That kitchen is dog shit. Like, that kitchen doesn't look like it's part of this house. It looks like a slightly large closet.
Yeah, it's like a cabin kitchen. It's modest. It's modest. Yep. Yeah, I agree.
All right, so the movie.
So let's tear apart this
movie. Let's tear apart this movie. First of all, we start with an animated ? Title sequence.
It was.
Not a question mark, but is the house real and it's just animated bats and wolves?
No, I think this was just a fun, like, I can't decide, was this a kid's movie or was
this? Was it made by children?
No.
Possibly.
Well.
No, this is like, I don't.
It's a little bit. It's like Mixin. It's like Mixin.
Created for adults.
Well.
Like, you could. The thing that I kept coming back to, and this movie made me appreciate it a little bit more, was the one that we did for our Patreon with Gene Wilder
Gilda.
Yeah.
Radner. Yeah.
That's a movie. That's a professionally made movie compared to this. But that had jokes for adults. Like, there were, like, sex jokes and weird stuff in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is a kid's movie.
Yeah, this is more edited. Yeah, it's, but can still entertain an adult.
No, we're not opposed to doing children's movies.
Right.
I mean, The Worst Witch is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
If we're talking about, you know, scary, quote-unquote, movies made for kids. So these things exist. So the whole crux of this movie, kind of, because the reveal at the end of who's actually evil, I didn't see coming. Not at all.
Yeah, but so easy to defeat. Like, in the end, he just needed the book anyway? Like,
I don't know. And they're just yelling sound effects at each other.
When their battle royale at the end. Hurry up. All right, let's get to it.
Okay, so... this family, this innocent family, is moving into a house. They have inherited a house. We get like
the we get the whole readout of the will
of them reading from a will.
Well, first we open with this cartoon, and then we see these two, like, kind of vampire-y, yes. I guess, what goth first, maybe, is your thought. And then you're like, oh, I see, they're vampires. But when you first see them, you're like, okay. And they are hanging out outside this house trying to buy a home, right?
Right. They decide to meet with a real estate agent. First, they thought it was 4 a.m. And I enjoy the fact that the wife is like, I'm pretty sure she meant 4 p.m. And he's like, who would want to meet at 4 in the afternoon? Midnight is the time to do this. Uh-huh. But they meet with the real estate agent, and he's clearly like a bald Dracula. And his wife is like, I don't know, sexy lady in leather. But she has like the white stripe in her hair like Bride of Frankenstein, but doesn't look at all like Bride of Frankenstein.
Well, they don't let her have any kind of a... Like, I wish she was part of that battle or something. You know what I mean? Like, what's her little power? Yeah, yeah.
I think they do tend to get the upper hand on Van Helsing when the two of them hold hands and both start making noises. But, yeah, for the most part, she's kind of the sidekick to Jeffrey Tambor as, I think, Dracula. There's enough references made to the original Dracula by him where I'm like, okay, I guess he's Dracula and Van Helsing and blah, blah, blah.
Pretty
but
fun.
They're there to buy this house. And in a movie where I was like, okay, this is supposed to be a comedy, so much of the stuff they're going for does fall flat, but there are some lines that are great. Like, I love it when the real estate agent is showing them just the exterior of the house. And Jeffrey Tambor's like, so wait a second. Are you telling me that young children walk by this house on the reg? And she goes, do you have children? And his response is, as often as we can. I loved it. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I thought too. I thought so too. There's a lot of those. I'm glad that, of course, you wrote them down. Or
I wrote a couple of them down. So then we do get a flashback, like you said, of the reading of the will.
Yes.
And the fact that this house is given to... whoever this dead guy is, his nephew, which is the main protagonist. The sister of the dead guy is given 3,000 overdue library books, which is a good joke, but it's made even better when people walk in with stacks of books.
Books right away, yeah.
And she like, and she's also given in the will a fart noise, which causes her to pass out.
Yeah. I loved it.
Awesome.
I loved it.
The lawyer reading the will also starts to talk about why the house is haunted, but then I think he just dies.
He starts to kind of let a little secret out. But this family is so excited because they're going to just get to own a home. And that's magic to them.
It's magic to... I can't help but think of 20-somethings now. Just like, oh my God, we finally get a home.
Like these, we have a whole house and it's just ours.
Astronomical in price. Yeah. But if it's just left to you... under bizarre circumstances where it's left to you, but you're not allowed to sell it, which is revealed later.
Oh, is that... That is their stipulation, right? They can't sell it. But they don't care. This would be their forever home.
Yeah, they don't care. They have odd attachments to things. They have non-attachments to a lot of things. Number one, their dog, Grover, who refuses to go into the house and runs away. And they're like, oh, well, whatever.
We don't see him again until the end. He's a cute dog, too.
He's a cute dog. Runs off and they're like, I don't know. Shrug shoulders, close the door. Rover doesn't like it here. We'll never see him again, kids.
Poor Rover. Well, they were adjusting. They were adjusting. They move in.
Dingy house. It could do with some nice curtains.
I love it, though, in all these like movies when you have these like old-timey houses. And somehow there's so many candles just lit in every corner and every nook and cranny, right? It's just what you do. You need some kind of lighting. But in the real world, this is where I'm like, I wish I had all those taper candles. I remember to place them all over the house.
Another fun sort of idea or gag or whatever you want to call it is when he turns on the lights... we see sparks, and then all the candles are lit. Like, it's really great.
Yeah.
And this movie is mainly lit by candles throughout.
Yes, yes.
But the kid does fix the fuse box or something. It doesn't matter.
Most that's where he runs off to. That's because he's the smart one.
He's the smart one. He knows how to fix the fuse box.
So when they're having problems with the lights and the place is smelly enough as it is, dun, 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 young Billy disappears. Mm-hmm. But... no worries. But while he's gone, what do they uncover? Don't they all?
Well, they go into, I love how they're walking through the house. They're, the father opens the fridge and there's a note in the fridge that says, don't open the book. It's a book of evil. And the wife goes, I think he must be talking about a cookbook.
Because it's in the fridge.
I guess. And then we cut to this kid who has just found, I assume it was left on his bed, just a book of evil. And as he leaves through the book.
And he's just reading it like the little boy in the Neverending Story when he's upstairs in the.
Neverending Story. A scarier movie than this. This kid is not. It's almost as if the director did not tell this kid what's happening when he turns the pages. Because we see monsters being transported out of the book and then looking at him in the window. And when he turns the page, he's just like, I don't know. Whatever's going on. Well, he knows enough to kind of hide it from his parents, though.
Something is happening in the book. This, like, I don't know. The images are, like you said, it's coming. And then there's the creatures appear all around him. And the monsters in this movie do seem like if you turn the lights on, they would be these colorful, cuddly, like Sesame Street creatures. Like, they don't seem like. They have unicorn horns and, like. Mm-hmm. They don't appear to be scared.
You would also see the zipper that the person had to unzip to get inside of this. Like,
I like that the fish monster makes an appearance once, like twice, and is after the girl for a reason.
I really do. I feel like this fish monster is really into this daughter. Like, it's It's a running gag, I guess. He's not given much to do. When she stumbles upon monsters just having a snack party in the kitchen, I kind of enjoyed that. So I'm like, they don't know you're here. They don't care. And from what I know about these monsters, they're going to clean up when they're done.
Yeah, they seem pretty tidy.
These monsters just basically do dishes and actually cook a roast for them.
Yeah, they do.
They're very helpful. So the real estate agent, like we said, she shows up later that same night to see if they're ready to sell. And I guess she's murdered by a monster?
Something, yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How about the fact that I love this running gag through the movie. The fact that these people think that bats are owls.
Yes. Yes, when they tuck themselves into bed the one night and there is the scream of the real estate agent dying or being killed, The wife goes, do you hear that? And he's like, oh, that's the screams of an owl. Yes. And owls do sound crazier than you think they sometimes.
But to this, she pulls back the curtains on the bedroom.
And there's a bat.
There's a bat right there. And she goes, oh. Owls and just closes it. Later when she's being attacked by multiple bats and you just hear her go, oh, these owls. Oh, these owls.
I know. I kind of love that too.
Yeah.
See, this movie.
There's little things. This was so minor. I was like, did I just see this? I had to rewind it to watch it again. Uh-huh. When they finally go to sleep and this kid screams that there's a monster in his room. The husband and wife sit up in bed. The husband headbutts the wife, and she falls back, passed out.
And then what does he do? When he gets up, he does something weird with the lamp. Like, he takes the lamp and just throws it on the floor. He doesn't accidentally knock it down.
He falls on the floor, and then he's constantly turning the lamp on the floor. From the floor, So I enjoyed this scene, too, when he goes into the kid's room and he's like, there's no monsters. And the monster's just behind him the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, even mimicking his motions while he's talking to the kid. And this kid somehow during this scene is like, I don't know. I guess I can deal with this monster. He and I are friends now. Kind of lets his dad leave the room. And then the monster creeps up on him, and he's like, I didn't tell him anything. And then he goes, all right, well, I did tell him, but it's fine now. But he finds out that he can use the book to protect himself against the monsters.
Yes.
Because they get electrocuted when they touch it.
That's got some energy attached to it.
The other thing that's happening right now, and it's kind of important. It's important to some comedic bits, but I don't really know how important it is to the movie overall. We notice that the wife, Mary, has left the room, and she returns with vampire bite marks on her neck.
On her neck. Yes. Two on her neck she gets from the kitchen. She has, I said, she has neck issues and she's a sleepwalker.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's accurate.
That's accurate. That's just her bullet points right there.
So the next day at breakfast, first of all, these kids are constantly talking about how they have to go to school and they never go to school.
No.
The daughter seems upset. She's like, oh, I had such a hard time sleeping last night. How am I possibly going to get to school? But they don't go to school. The daughter, like, hangs out and takes a bath, and the parents go shopping for curtains. But at breakfast, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the stop-motion scene of the flowers dying immediately that are on the table.
Oh, yeah.
And the wife just dumps water on them. And his response of, that's great, hon. They look a lot more healthy now. It's pretty fun.
This is when they discover the monsters. Well, they don't know yet it's the monsters, right. But somebody's done their dishes.
Yeah. Yeah. They discover a giant.
First of all, it's the greatest thing for this family to have the dishes done for them. Like, they're like, did you do the dishes? No, I didn't do the dishes. Did you? Who did? Who? And they're all very honest. I love it. All of them won't take the credit if they didn't do it. But I like the discovery. The daughter pulls this gigantic dish glove, like cartoonishly large dish glove, out of the sink. And that's how we end that scene.
Yeah,
that's how the scene ends.
I love the fact that these monsters have their own dish gloves. It's really like they're going shopping.
I think they're groovy little guys. Yes. Like, I hope that the sequel is that how they all live together in that house.
The thing that I'm wondering about these monsters is they've been trapped in a book for so long. Are they upset with how filthy the house is? They're like, this used to be our home. And now it's a mess.
We like to keep it nice, but then this lazy uncle of yours has been living here for years.
Yeah. So the mom and dad, they go shopping for curtains because, like you said, she's so obsessed with curtains. Curtains would brighten this place up. And my thought at every moment is, like, it's so dark in here. Like, take the curtains off. Just get some light in this house. Yeah.
But it's the right kind of curtain. There wouldn't be blackout curtains.
I have to tell you, I made a joke that I thought was really funny, and then my wife did something. So, all right, this is a little bit behind the scenes.
Okay.
We were at, so my wife's parents, they live in a house, and the curtains are constantly closed. The place is so dark. And I was once talking to my wife, and I was like, your parents, I was like, it's like a coffin in there.
No.
I thought it was pretty funny. And then I walk in the room a few days later. She's on the phone with her mom talking about how I said it was like a coffin in their house. And I'm like, why did you tell her that? And she goes, I don't know. I thought it was funny. I'm like, your mom's not going to think it's funny. Anyway, that's how this house felt to me when I was watching the movie.
All right.
So,
little Doug's in-home humor for all of y'all.
I will talk shit on your house if I visit it.
This is a home for monsters, so it's meant to feel spooky, you know?
That's what I should have said. Your parents' house is like a home for monsters.
It's so spooky inside. See, it's the way you word things.
So when parents leave to go shopping for curtains, this is bizarre how a police officer just runs through their yard because he forgot his badge and he is home.
He lives nearby, I guess. Because isn't that the neighbor lady? Is it his head that's on the table later?
Yes. Okay. When this lady is asking the severed head to help her.
And she's like, serious. Well, she says she says hello to it and greets
so
it.
Happy
like, she
to
didn't
have
realize
found
that it's
her husband.
So funny. Ridiculous.
Very ridiculous.
But yeah, it's random. When they walk outside to go by their curtains, officer just runs by. It's very random.
Yeah.
Looking for his badge, and he's their neighbor. So, but that makes you feel safe, I guess. They get a cop right nearby. And
Then we watch
We
watch a teenage girl take a bath.
In a filthy tub. I mean, they just moved in and I love it. It was a little kickback, but Mr. Bubble, remember as a kid?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you did use that Mr. Bubble. That's what she's pouring in there. I do like, because she's taking a bath, but they're definitely not trying to be sexy about it because they realize that she's underage. She's always covered up. just, you know, and nothing. It doesn't feel scandalous.
No. It's not supposed to either. Did you notice at the end of this movie, and I felt like, oh, what a terrible mistake for a scene. And for them to leave it in the movie is not great. When she's standing against the wall and that, I don't know, that liquor store guy is there. And he opens the, like, curtains and we see the
Oh, yeah, and he keeps grabbing her?
He grabs her chest. Like, it's a mistake by the actor. Like, he's reaching in.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Like, a big grab. And she looks like, oh, no. Like, and they left that in. It's like, that's the take that you left in your movie. It was weird. Because this girl's, like, I don't know, 13, 14 years old or something like that. Yeah, it's weird. But anyway. I didn't know that. I'm going to ignore that uncomfortable moment in this movie because these children that are home alone are confronted with an actual monster. And this is the most scared anyone is in this, and they're not really all that scared at all.
Well, there's a sea monster.
Yeah, it's like the creature from the Black Lagoon, basically.
But he truly, like, all of the monsters just don't look scary to me.
Of course not.
So, and it starts out like a little fin floating in her tub. As she's getting her tubby ready, there's a fin floating in there. And at one point, she just feels for something, and you're like, oh my God, she's gonna. And she pulls out a rubber duck.
Yep.
From the bathtub.
Well, you can't see anything with all those bubbles in there. You can't see an entire, basically, human man-sized being.
I mean, he's a monster, so I guess he grows like they turn into bats.
He's like one of those sponges that you put in water and it just grows. Yeah. It is a fun reveal when he pops up and they're just sitting across from each other in this bathtub full of bubbles. I kind of enjoyed that. But she freaks out, gets out, wraps herself in a towel, runs around the house. The brother sees this thing. He yells, the police officer that we just saw comes in and opens up on this monster, just unloads his entire gun on this monster. It does nothing.
Nothing.
And then he's killed and dragged out of the house.
Uh-huh.
And then the son appears to be concerned, not for his sister, not for the fact that monsters are here, but his
mom cleaned his room.
Yeah. As his parents show up, he takes his sister and puts her back in the bathtub. She almost drowns. He has to pull her out of the water.
It is funny how he wraps her up and puts her in the bathtub.
Drapes her arms over the edge of the tub so that she does not drown because she's still passed out from being chased by a monster.
Yeah.
He's upset that his mom cleaned the room and hid the book, I guess.
Yes.
Because she's now a vampire woman, kind of. So she hid the book on purpose because Jeffrey Tambor told her?
Told her to hide because he talks to her somehow.
In the linen closet.
Yeah. And it's not where he left it, hidden under his pillow.
Yeah, he put it under his pillow. Nobody will find it there at all.
I know.
It is a fun, like, mother-son thing where he's like, you didn't clean my room, did you? She's like, I just put away a couple things. And he comes in.
I just put your laundry away. He walks in. He's like, this is what she calls putting away laundry. Yeah, he's all
so
pissed.
Upset. Yeah.
Yeah, but he knows that he needs the book to help with this monster situation. And now he knows that his mother cleaned the room, found the book, and he needs to get his paws on it, right?
And also, it's revealed at this point that the mom has decided to throw a party on Saturday the 14th, which I guess
we get
is
our
in two
titular
or three
line.
Days.
Sure. Yes, it's coming. It's coming. She's throwing a party because
I don't know, a housewarming party.
And she said she's got to invite people that she, because family, they'll have to invite, and then they want to invite people that they actually like.
I don't understand, because they're like, we're not inviting family. And then everybody that shows up, it's like, this is my cousin. Mm-hmm. This is my uncle. Well, I thought you
weren't. Because they're all the people that want the house, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I really wish I had paid more attention during the reading of the will to find out if these people were in that scene or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That scene kind of comes in and comes out, though.
Well,
it's
right.
Great.
It's before any of this. And I.
Yeah, so you're not really paying attention to who is there. I hear you. But I bet they are the same. I bet there was continuity there.
How about the next scene where the dad's having a heart-to-heart with his son while he's making a sandwich?
Some kind of sandwich he's making. He is putting, what is he putting on this sandwich?
He's
if you
got
write
everything.
It down, I didn't.
The table is filled with all kinds of condiments. It's meat, it's cheeses, there's vegetables. He puts peanut butter and jelly on it at one point. I guess we're supposed to be laughing hysterically as we
I thought it was funny. I thought it was, as I'm watching, I mean, I wasn't hysterical, but I was like, oh, look, what is he? Because they do, they have a conversation just about...
I don't know. I was okay, hoping good. Okay. You knew.
I was like, Billy is seeing monsters, and now he's not, and he needs the book.
Oh, I remember. Billy's like, so what if, let's just say you messed up. You lost something, and it's the key to the entire universe. Like, what would you do?
Right.
And his dad's like, are you trying to tell me that you lost something? And the daughter comes in, and he's even like, so, wait, if you lost something that was the key to saving the universe from monsters, what would you do with it? And again, like, she was just attacked by a monster, and she's not like, hey, I think there's a monster in this house. She's going about her business.
Yeah, she's getting her breakfast together, right? Yeah. This is when mom's cleaning in the attic and looking for the cat, right?
Amazing. I don't know why there's a cat here. The cat hisses at her, runs away. We never see it again.
She's running around the attic going, puss.
Yep.
Puss.
She says puss 1,000 times. Puss, 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 puss. Because, of course, I had the.
Oh, you had your closed captions up.
And it was like the screen was filled with the word puss. It's so strange. Then she gets, as we said before, attacked viciously. She's bloodied. Her clothes are ripped.
Yeah, from these bats. Yeah, from these bats. And the whole time we said this family calls bats owls. So she's like, these owls are all over me.
It's banana. Like, it's crazy.
It's very silly.
And then Jeffrey Tambor has been, like, hiding in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, my dear.
Well, he's a bat. He's one of them. Yeah.
And he's like, my dear, they won't hurt you. Go back downstairs. And then he goes downstairs, and she goes downstairs. I guess off screen, there's a big conversation about bats or owls, because now the dad calls an exterminator, major exterminator, and it's a guy in a military uniform.
It's so funny.
It's so bizarre.
Fun.
He yells at the exterminator, demanding that he send someone immediately. And the exterminator.
Yeah, he's like, I got the bats today. I don't need the guy tomorrow.
They
the bats.
Say
oh,
bats,
says,
in my belfry,
I got bats in my belfry
as many times as this woman just said puss. And Van Helsing is working as an exterminator so that he can go into random houses and look for a magic book.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. And then he shows up and invites himself to live with them.
Yeah, he shows up and they think he's coming for an exterminating job, like to get rid of it and then go home. And he's like, so I'll stay in the spare room. And they're like, how? He's like, this is going to take a minute. And they were like, well, all right.
He's got luggage. He throws it at the little kid. He's like, put this in my room.
Mm-hmm.
This is the scene that I really enjoy when gets to the top of the steps and the mother walks out of the bedroom, screams so long. Like an extended nonstop scream where they just look at her, she runs away, and his response is, I guess that's your lovely wife. What are we having for dinner?
And then they do all sit at dinner, right? Things keep getting spookier at the house, like the rat in the fridge.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the head in the package for the roast that they're going to make.
This daughter, not reacting the way that anybody should, she opens the roast. She is tasked with making this roast. It is a...
Well, she went to the grocery store, too. She comes back with the bags. Mom's been resting after her attack in the bats in the belfry, so...
She reveals a severed head, gets upset about it, leaves the room, tells somebody they came back. It's a roast, completely done. Completely
it's
cooked.
Actually
Looks
cooked.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like
uh-huh.
These monsters are doing an amazing
These monsters
job.
Do the dishes. They cook up some yummy foods in record time, too.
Yeah. The mother, who is now in bed, like for a long stretch in this movie, she's in bed in like a long flowing white gown. And she doesn't feel right. And her assumption is that she's pregnant.
Yes.
What?
I mean, whenever a woman is ill, that's what she feels, right? And they go into it. They announce, like, at dinner. At
dinner. They don't announce it. Van Helsing, this guy that just showed up, is like, oh, my God, you're going to have a baby. How excited. The kids he are says, over.
Do you know whose baby it might be?
And to which the dad's like, I don't like that kind of talk, mister. Great reaction. The kids are overjoyed, and she's even like, oh, hold on, let's pump the brakes, everybody. I'm not sure that I'm pregnant.
Right, I'm not really sure what's going on here.
I don't really know what's going on. Let me go back to my dirt bed for a little bit. So
Does not he tell them at the table that he's got to find the magic book, the kid? Isn't this when the kid makes the revelation at the table, like...
Yeah, I think
because the dad's like, so we have bats in our belfry because of this book.
This is when everything comes to a head, where Van Helsing's here, like, well, there's some monsters and looking for this book and blah blah blah, like everything's revealed, and again, everyone's like, well, I don't know, let's hit the hay.
Yeah. Okay.
This is when, as I said earlier, maybe before we started recording, I don't know, the daughter walks downstairs at night into a monster snack party. Like, these monsters are just living it up. They're drinking juice and chips.
And like you said, outside the house, because they don't come in for some reason, there's Tambor and his vampirous wife hang out outside, just waiting for the book to get discovered, put in the right hands.
A lot of this makes more sense when it's revealed at the end, because I was like, wait a minute, if these monsters are like cool with them, why aren't they just opening the door and letting them inside?
Yeah.
So the reveal that the monsters aren't part of their plan at the end makes more sense now.
Mm-hmm,
like, I really, the whole movie, I'm like, why are they in that car? Why are they still in that car? Why are they just sitting in a car?
Because
they can't come in. The monsters would attack them or whatever.
Right, right. They need to be protected. They need to know the book had been found before they went in, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, the daughter wanders around this house through fog. There's so much fog in this house.
Oh, well, of course. It's spooky.
She walks into the bathroom, and we hear a fog horn. And the fog is so thick. The Gillman monster is right behind her, but they both go into the bathroom and apparently, like, can't see each other.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, Jeffrey Tambor and his wife get in the attic, and they come
because they're bats. Yeah, they make the decision to fly up there. Yeah, yes. They make the decision somehow.
They squabble for a bit in the car about him. He's a bit of a philanderer.
He's a bit of a two-timer, yeah. He's the one, he clearly bit what's-her-name's neck, mom's neck, and is saying that he did it just to get closer to the book, but there's clearly a connection there, because even at the end, I think he makes a comment to her.
Right? Yeah, I enjoy when he's like, oh, God, she's going to bring up that woman. That was 100 years ago. And, of course, when they get into the attic, she's like, and don't even let me bring up that lady.
Yeah.
And that's like from the actual Dracula. Like, that's the reason why I think he's Dracula. Like, I think,
which is even more funny. It makes it more.
I was about to say that was the woman he bit was Keanu Reeves' wife. Well, I didn't just say. Oh my God, what can't I think of her name?
Winona Ryder.
Yes, Winona Ryder. Okay, all right, that's okay. Sorry. So they go downstairs, and Van Helsing's there. Like, it looks like he has constructed some sort of meth lab in their living room.
But they're like these mocktails.
He chases them away, showing them a potion. And then they're like, you win this time, Van Helsing. And they leave, and he, like, drinks it. And he's like, it's not bad. It's not good, but it's not
good,
bad.
But okay. It's not bad. Yeah.
Fun. Amazing.
Yes.
One of the best lines in this movie is the next day they're talking about this party. Van Helsing now is like a member of this family. They're in the kitchen. They're eating Count Dracula, which I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah,
touch.
That was fun, too. Yeah.
I love it when Van Helsing goes, we need chips, we need onion dip, and we need Barbra Streisand records.
Barbra Streisand records. I wrote that down, too.
Those
are the basics for a good party.
Yeah, I was like, this sounds like a Good Times Great Movies party, honestly.
I'm in. I'm sold.
Let's break out the Yentl soundtrack and get those chips a-popping.
Barbra Streisand albums. Onion dip is always a pleasure, right? And we got to bring the positive energy.
There's another funny scene here where the husband goes upstairs to check on the wife who's now sleeping in dirt. And he hears the doorbell ring because it's the liquor store guy. We'll get into this funny line. I enjoyed this. But I loved it when the wife's like, let me just give you a kiss. And she goes to bite his neck. And he turns and he's like, let me just see who's at the door. And he starts to walk and she falls on the floor.
And right, I like it. He looks back at her and he's like, but I'll be back for that kiss.
She's laying on the floor next to the lamp, which has not yet been picked up in this movie.
No, it's still on the floor, which is really even, really great, really great.
And when Van Helsing answers the door, and this guy is standing there with bags of chips, and I guess Barbara Streisand records, I don't know.
Yeah,
and he goes, hi, liquor store. And he goes, no, this is a private residence. It closes the door. That is such a sitcom joke, but I love it so much. Like, that's great. It reminds me, there was an episode of, what's the show with the Seavers? Why can't I think of
it? Your nutmeg usage is really showing this. Growing pains? Do you mean growing pains?
Yes, growing pains. Where the youngest kid, Ben, there's an episode where he's really upset. He needs money to buy something. And there's a knock at the door and he answers it. And there's a nun standing there. And she goes, money for the needy. And he grabs it and goes, thanks. It reminded me of that. Okay.
Okay. Good one. Good correlation. All right.
So this kid's here with booze and chips. And they invite him in. And then he can't leave because... anytime somebody tries to leave the house, there's like a big storm.
It's
and
hell wind. Outside. It's literally hell is outside the house, right? Because the daughter keeps saying, I've got to get out of here. I've just got to get out of here.
The daughter, the son, everybody wants to get out of here. And nobody
they're having
can.
A little claustrophobia. They're like, I can't be in this house anymore.
But it's the day of the party.
Yes.
You know, like they're preparing for this party. The daughter is dressed like she should be serving beer at Oktoberfest. What is this outfit?
It's a little roughly in the middle, yes. But it's her party outfit.
Yeah,
I mean,
guess
it's
so.
got some work that needs to be had, but no matter. She's ready for the party and the family is first to arrive. Like literally if you had checked from the reading of the will, looks like this
it looks
is the
like
room
those
from
same
the
characters
the
show up. Yeah, it's like a small handful of relatives.
There's an ongoing joke, I guess, because it's a housewarming party. Everyone brings an electric can opener.
What is
that's the thing
is going on? And also, the mother loves it. She loves everyone. She's like just
an
what
electric
I needed.
Can opener. And I'm wondering if this is the time when that because I have both. I have a hand can opener that I love. That's like forever old, and it just works. Like a charm. But then I have the beauty of an electric can opener, which sometimes you're like, what? But it is a lovely thing. And when the electric can opener came to be, whenever that was, I thought it was sooner than the 80s, but maybe not. It had to feel like the thing that you're going to bring to the, like, you're going to want to open your cans
can
in the
I,
most restful way.
Can I reveal
way.
Something to you right now?
Have you never used an electric
can opener? I have never used an electric can opener in my life.
The big reveal.
I've never. This movie made me realize I've been missing out. And
it's a pleasure.
This must have been a thing that my parents were like, no, no, no. No instruments of the devil will enter this house.
I am not plugging in a can opener.
I have no idea how I never encountered one in my, I don't know, life journey. Is how I
are
never
you
just
a canning
like,
family? Do you guys like canned goods?
I mean, yeah, I have used a manual can opener
so
more
you,
times than I can count.
You use cans, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not a tricky thing, really. Like, it
no,
is kind of funny that this. But there is a time, it, maybe through injury or something like that, that the can opening
I'm sure.
can be. Or, God knows, you've had that time where there's just the bad can opener, the cheap can opener, you know, the twist. And it's just torture
it's just
to get
a
that.
Dent in
yes.
it. Yes.
And
it.
Repeated little dents, like you're trying to just blindly stab this can. And,
were you about to say murder the can?
Murder the can. And okay. then the dangers of a bad can opener, the edges of that can blade, they can cut.
And there's like, and again, I've seen them, like there's a magnet on top that like holds the
correct.
Lid.
Wow. Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Oh, the
it's
time
like science.
We live in. I can't believe it. So these people show up another.
This is the good time part of the Good Times Great Movies when we talk endlessly about electric can openers. And Doug's actually fascinated. I'm like, fascinated truly.
I can't. Sincerely. I was so jealous of this table full of electric can openers that we see.
I know what your 10-year anniversary gift is going to be for being in the podcast. I'm going to get you a Good Times Great Movie electric can opener.
How about the fact that the neighbor shows up? First of all, she's not at all bothered by the fact that she has not seen her husband in two days.
She's kind of at the party to do a little reconnaissance, right?
Oh, really? I didn't think so. I just thought she was happy to be there.
Well, that too.
She does show up. She shows up with an electric can opener that is open. She doesn't even
handle
a box. Want
to show that shit off.
I just brought this from my
house. She might
just
have them lying around.
Yeah.
High class. Highfalutin.
this entire party, one by one, kind of. I couldn't keep track of everyone. They're all killed by monsters. And it starts with a woman who I think is eaten by a fur coat.
Well, that's what we get into next, is these monsters have been... they've killed the real estate agent and whatnot, but there's a... people that live at this house, that none of them have been killed. They've been chased and spooked by these monsters, but they've not been, these monsters are not murdering. But now that these family, I don't know if their energies are heightened or they know the family is bad news, but now this movie gets into like a very silly little killing spree where the monsters start going after some of the family members and there's...
Can I posit a reason for this, which just occurred to me now?
Oh, okay.
I don't want to reveal at the end that Van Helsing is really the bad guy here, but he is so insistent on them having a party and how important the people are.
True.
Did the monsters need to kill these people in order to become powerful enough to question mark?
Maybe to take over. Because eventually what's happening, but again, even the urgency of this is not felt by anyone. Essentially, if this night goes wrong, the whole world is going to be taken over by monsters, not just this house.
Exactly. Yes.
Like, it's going to start a whole monster revolution. But again, you don't feel, and I love it, you don't feel that, like you said, when even they have monsters, or they're just like, oh, okay, well, they just kind of go on. Like, mom's, you know, she's probably pregnant. She's not been bit by a vampire
and also
attacked by owls in the attic or bats.
The man that knows the history of this and the lore,
yes.
Van Helsing, even he is like, well, I can't believe I'm tending bar. Like, I got shit to do. But he seems mildly perturbed by this.
Yes.
It's so bizarre. So this woman's eaten by a fur coat. Another thing I enjoy is this liquor store guy who just follows the daughter around like a puppy dog.
Oh, yes.
He really likes this girl.
Yeah, he's into her. And she runs to her dad. Oh, the reason the party... Well, isn't the reason the party starts to spread out a bit...
Oh.
Is because they're looking for Billy. Doesn't Billy go missing?
Yes. One of the funniest and most cringy lines of this movie is when, I don't know if it's the dad or Van Helsing that's like, all right, everybody, let's play a game. It's called Find the Boy. What do we get? You get to keep the boy? I was like, well, wait. Because even the dad's like, no, that can't be the prize. Well, yeah, they spread out around the house, Ghoulie style. To kind of, like, find this kid, and one by one, they are, I guess, killed and eaten by monsters.
By monsters, yes.
This is where, we said it before, the neighbor woman goes into the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
She's being, is it like a giant ape? Is it a wolf man?
There's a
attacking her?
There's a couple of different...
Yeah,
of these monsters. I think she's being attacked by the apey one.
Okay.
The one of the aunts, there's like a older aunt that gets attacked first, the fur coat aunt, right?
Yes.
And that I thought was by a werewolf.
No, fur coat. No? Wait, okay, fur coat lady, then there's a werewolf lady. I think that's the lady that runs into the realtor, and then she like turns around and then is killed by a werewolf.
Oh, yes,
this woman's killed by an ape. There are men at this party where I don't know what happens to them.
Mm-mm.
We never see that.
No, because it's about killing the ladies.
Right, yeah, exactly. So this woman, she is being attacked by an ape. She looks at the table, sees the severed head of her husband,
and says,
talks to it, asks it for help, Yeah. Asks why he's not doing anything to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And then is killed off camera.
And the whole time, we get to see his bloody head on a plate.
Yep.
And yeah, it's a very strange interaction because she talks to him and interacts with him as if he's not dead. She never screams in horror to see his head on a plate.
No.
She just kind of...
She actually seems relieved, like, oh,
to
there you
see
are.
Him. Yeah, that she found him. Yes, exactly. It's really weird. So and then, I like it. Most of the killings happen off camera. We see like blood splatter on a purse, or we hear a scream, or we, you know.
The severed head is something I did not expect. In a movie where nothing is really scary or gross, the head actually looks pretty good, and it's all bloody and
bloodied
disgusting.
Out. Yeah, yeah.
So the whole family, basically all that's left now is the family and the liquor store kid is still hanging around with them. Go ahead.
Right. So we know that this book has to be found, right? Do we find Billy?
Well, so everybody's wondering what's going on. The door opens, and now Billy appears to be a member of the Dracula family, as though Jeffrey Tambor has like adopted this kid.
He's got a cape on him.
And he has the book.
Well, I'm wondering if when all this monster madness went down, Billy was lured.
Oh, man, call this movie Monster Madness instead.
No. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, all right, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. If Billy was lured outside by the vampire family when all of that was going down.
Probably.
And lured with said book, because that's what he needed to get his hands on, Dracula, was the book. And now Billy's got it and has found his way.
It appears that Billy and Dracula and his wife had an extensive conversation because Billy has bought in on all of this. It's like, these guys are good guys. He's a bad guy.
How
Let's
to get him
do
to go
this.
Down. It's the book that'll get you to go down.
Yes.
Meanwhile, he's telling the family, Van Helsing's telling the family that if this book isn't found and this whatever it is isn't broken, there'll be famine, war, and death.
Yeah.
And I love the dad's reaction. It's like, we already have all those things. So it's fine. Yeah. That's the world we live in. How terrible is it?
The final fight, we talked about it before. It's
this
the
fight.
Two of them
this
opening
fight.
Their mouths and sound effects come out.
First, it's them hissing at each other. Yes. Like little and then sticking their tongue. It is
sticking their tongue
so
out.
Fun. And they're making the goofy faces, like silly faces, putting their hands in their mouths. So it's that Van Helsing guy and it's Jeffrey Tambor, right? I'm saying
yes.
Right? Doing this, just this is their fight. This is the last battle between the two. In the middle of all of this, Billy is it's Van Helsing that gives him the power to levitate.
I have no idea. I have
because
no
Billy's
idea
levitating.
Who's making him levitate. I have
and
no idea. Just
again,
up and down and up and down.
The reaction
with
this kid. Of the mom and the sister and the dad, who are all huddled and hugging in the corner, watching this with the liquor store guy.
Yep.
They break a lamp at one point, and he's like, I never liked that lamp anyway. And then they break a table, and he was like, she's like, that was your mother's table. He's like, oh, was it?
He's like, it is? I'm like, let's dig deeper on this. Let's have a more extensive conversation about this. Because watching, crazy, negative scratches and laser beams on screen, too, that's also what we're seeing.
Oh, yeah, that's also
while
happening.
While these two do foghorn noises
and electric.
Jackhammer noises.
Yes. Coming out of their mouth while they make these goofy, silly, funny faces, basically.
You're just
looking at my notes and seeing
the,
their funny faces.
Did you draw pictures of any of this? Do you still draw pictures?
I wish
or no?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Right,
but,
okay.
Yeah. Right.
So at the end of this fight, basically what happens is, I guess Van Helsing wins this fight, gets the book, tries to destroy it, and then he and all the monsters explode.
Yeah.
Right?
But I thought so then he didn't win. I thought the kid wins because Billy's even like, I won. Did he say
Oh, does he? Okay.
We won.
I thought Dracula said,
or was that a fake?
Tisk, tisk. He thought that if he got the book and destroyed it, he would win. But it turns out the opposite thing happened.
Because he really is the bad guy. Like you said, they explained it to Billy. Everyone is happy.
Yeah, the dog returns, too.
Oh, yeah,
the dog
came back.
I assume has been sitting outside the whole time like, I am not dealing with this.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
I just watched
there.
A real estate agent get murdered on the front lawn, I'm going to wait this out. And the dog does.
Uh-huh.
And then Dracula and his wife are like, wink, wink, we'll see you guys later. We're out of here.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's it.
It's like, we're just here to, yep.
Yeah.
I wanted to see them all, again, living together in this, like, happy
so
little.
So did right? I. What an amazing final mm-hmm. scene of mm-hmm. them just in the kitchen together, or they're all having dinner together. Or it's just the family, and then it's revealed, like, Dracula walks downstairs, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I was late for dinner, I really wanted that.
And the
that.
Monsters are there cleaning up after all of them, right?
The uh-huh. monsters walk in like butlers, and they serve the food.
Uh-huh.
That is a better ending to this movie, because the way it ends, Dracula and his wife get back in the car, and they're like, don't you think that family deserves an amazing home? So I think they gave them the house across the street. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the house they first looked at.
That
was like,
they first
this
thought
is amazing.
Was theirs. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And now they're just happy neighbors.
Mm-hmm. I can only assume Dracula murdered that entire family and was like, we'll just move you guys in here now. So that's it. I mean, that is Saturday the 14th.
There it is. I thought it was a fun movie.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
it was. I did. I thought, yeah. again, it was a Saturday the 14th, though, fun. It wasn't.
Sure.
Crazy Friday night fun. It wasn't, ooh, we're out on a weeknight, Thursday night fun. It was Saturday night fun.
I like the Thursday night fun as though we're doing something naughty.
That's it. That's what it is. Thursday and Tuesday. Any of the hump night, the hump day and out is like, oh, I just need to get over the midweek slump.
Sure.
But those spicy, there's some spicy days there during the week if you're mm-hmm. going out. It's a different spicy movie.
Yeah.
Friday night's like the big night for going out, right? Saturday night, like there's Saturday night version of like, a funny movie is what all you right. just saw. Like it's, I thought it was funny and cute and clever, but it also didn't, like I said, I literally was curled up with my dog dozing through yeah. parts of it, but it entertained me fine enough to be like, this was cute. I liked it.
All right.
You barely got through the
I really,
but just
I
now
really
you're laughing.
Not. I enjoyed the conversation. I really did. I did not enjoy watching this. I had to watch this in two parts. I got like 40 minutes in and I was like, I'll finish this tomorrow.
I got something else I could do. Yeah.
I did enjoy the end. I thought the end was fun. Like once the party happened, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun and a little more playful.
Right.
Most of this movie to me just felt like people wandering around a house. Like
well,
I just,
yeah.
and I mean, I know that's what's happening, but also like, I don't want to downplay it because there were, as I brought up, certain lines and certain things I was like, I don't want to say this, but like in a better movie, these things would have hit a lot harder.
I think though this was one of those, maybe I'm wrong though. There's a yeah. cluster of these comedy, early 80 comedy movies that came out and they just, like imagine how fun this was just to write and play with and do
sure.
like, it was just a fun little spoof
yeah.
and it got made and it was, again, not meant to blow any minds in any ways, but it was fun and funny
right.
enough.
All right.
I enjoyed
you
it.
Know what?
I
that's
don't know.
Fair.
I'm going all different kinds of ways on my recommendation now, though.
Oh, no, that's
okay. I had one
okay.
thought.
I mean, I could go first if you want.
Go ahead, go, and then
think.
I'm going to look at something. I already might have recommended this, but.
I sometimes try and recommend movies that are lesser seen or lesser known, but I am going to recommend the original Creature from the Black Lagoon from 1954.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not even in the same vein that this is a children's movie, I'm not even going to recommend this movie from me, but my oldest daughter, when she was like 11 or 12, I showed her this movie. She loved it. And even now, she will still just watch the original black and white Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, I
she
love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she enjoyed it. The suit, unlike this monster, the suit for something that was made 30 years before this looks amazing, and you see the whole figure, like you see him,
you
swimming.
See all the
there's a great scene of a woman who is swimming in the lagoon just
uh-huh.
you know for a dip and she's
for
swimming
a lagoon
and,
dip
yeah and she's swimming and doing like little like acrobatics in the water and it's shot where he's under like well below her just mimicking what she's doing. It's a really really great scene. It's kind of a fun movie, so that's what I'm going to recommend.
That's a good movie to recommend.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. All right. I had a couple of things, but I'm going to go with this one. I don't know if I've recommended it before. The show Kidding? Maybe I have. The
no.
one with Jim Carrey. Do you know
that,
it?
Nope. That does not sound familiar at all.
It's really good. I don't know where
okay.
you can check it out, though. Apple TV, I think. It's so Jim Carrey plays this character, Mr. Pickles, who's like a sort of almost like a Mr. Rogers type of character, but he's got a real dark side. And oh, who plays his sister? She's really
just
great.
Like
Michael Gondry.
Mr. Rogers. He doesn't have a dark side. He's the nicest person ever.
I know. He really is pure gold.
Okay.
And he, I think it's just the anniversary of his birthday or his passing. Something Mr. Rogers-y is always happening. Anyway, so yeah, Mr. Rogers fits. That's the neighborhood vibe of this movie. Anyway, it's called, what is it called? It's called Kidding, okay. And it's with Jim Carrey, and Catherine Kinnear is in it, and she plays his sister, and she makes all his little puppets, because puppet, you know, just like Mr. Rogers, puppets are a part of it. Anyway, it gets a little dark. Okay. He's lost his son, and he's grieving, and so it does get a little dark, but it's an awesome performance, I think, by Jim Carrey, and I think it's a great show.
Well,
so check it out.
Someday I will subscribe to Apple TV or whatever it's called. It's like the one thing I don't have, and you keep recommending things.
That's
from
why
it.
I'm trying to. Like, you see what I'm doing? I work for Apple. I'm so subtle about it.
You're some sort of Apple plant. It's called an apple tree. All right, so.
All right.
Next time, and I really enjoyed. I like the fact that you connected with this movie, because I don't want to tell people what list I sent you for our ape role and which movie I almost didn't even put on the list, because I was like, oh no, Jamie's going to pick this.
Of course I picked it. Of course I picked it.
Of course you did. But that's not next time. That's not next time. Mm-mm. Because we're still in our Monster March for some reason. We're going to be doing another, I was about to say kids or children's, like, scary movie. But I have to tell you, I don't know what kids this movie is geared toward. I looked up a picture of Gina Davis in this movie.
Sultry, huh?
Oh my God. Do you have any idea what you're in store for here?
No, I don't.
Have you seen pictures?
No, but Goldblum's in it. Oh, were her Jamie, and Goldblum connected?
Yes, they were married.
Yeah, they
yes.
were, okay.
And they were in The Fly together.
Oh, that's right.
Jamie, do yourself a favor.
Okay.
Just Google Gina Davis, Transylvania 65,000.
I'm going to watch it.
And I'm just saying, just to get
you yourself
prepared.
You want me to see the images? Okay.
Wowzer okay. Yowzers. Wowzer Yowzers. I've never seen Gina Davis this way in my entire life. I'm really looking forward to it. But we're going to watch Transylvania 65,000.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And it's a movie that I think I saw. But just like this one, when I saw Gina Davis, I was like, well, I would have remembered this. Like, I don't think I saw this movie, actually.
I definitely did not. And I'm very excited about
Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, Ed Begley Jr. The cast list, I looked at it. It is...
It's enticing.
It's extensive.
Yeah,
it's enticing. Kramer is in this movie. Like,
can't wait.
I can't wait.
What's he
going to
do? Yeah.
Oh, wow. So...
Well...
Anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed this. Thank you for listening.
This was a fun romp. I appreciate the recommendation from our listener. Michelle?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, Michelle, I listen, maybe I didn't enjoy it, but keep it up. Come on, you gave us Sweet Liberty. How could we forget? You made us watch a two-part TV movie called Lace.
To which I just, because the only other time I've had to use my DVD player was recently when we had to watch our Satisfaction movie. And the DVD that was in there was Lace.
That's awesome. I don't think I told you this. There was another listener who, it was after our Lace episode, and they were like, it was someone that I've been on her podcast. But anyway, so she was like, I really want to watch Lace. Like, I don't want to listen to your episode before I watch it. I'm trying to find it. And she's like, I can't really find it. So I sent it to her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Good.
I was like, I'll just send it to you. Yeah. So I sent it to her. And recently, she had it for so long, she sent it back. And I was immediately like, you did not need to give me Lace back.
Yeah.
It's fine. You could have kept it.
Hold on to that.
But no, I appreciate that. But no, thank you, Michelle. This is great. Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. And everybody, we will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Until then, have a great 2 weeks.
A good one.
this must be our charming wife.
Did you watch my fingers? Because they were not counting.
No, I try not to.
Okay.
I don't want to be distracted from when I'm supposed to hit.
You're ready. Record. You're very
ready. Yeah. You do enough visually where I'm like, I can't. No, I can't concentrate on two things at once. Drinking that foamy coffee. Nice. I love it. Now, when you say fancy, you do mean like just putting, I don't know, sprinkles of. What do people put on top? Nutmeg? No, that's just what we smoked. So you can get high.
Yeah, that's right.
Every now and then, a recipe will call for a nutmeg, and I just burst out in fits of laughter. Like,
just pack it just in the bowl.
You and me sitting at a table going, do you feel anything? I think I do. I don't know.
Are you nutmeg high? I might be nutmeg high. How earthy of us.
I don't even know who. Was that? That sounds like a Jamie suggestion, actually. I don't know where that came from. Maybe I brought it to the table, but it really sounds like something you might have come up with.
I mean, I am a fan of the spice.
Yeah, right. So, hence the reason we talked about Dune that time.
Exactly. That's my the feelings of Dune right. Come up for a good spice. Well,
sorry. Wait, you said on the Saturday.
Let me grab my special book.
Ordering?
Let me grab my special book.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't electrocute you or something.
This movie.
Go
ahead.
All this stuff.
Oh wait, let me
all this stuff that we're doing now is at the end of the episode. So if people have hung around this long, they are frequent listeners of the show. Like I kind of understand if people turn it off, you know, when the music's playing at the end or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Even though
our work is done.
Even though there's like 15 minutes left, I understand why people turn off. But the whole reason, and I feel like, I don't even think I talked to you about this, but we do a podcast. I feel like I should be as truthful and honest and let you in on the backstory as much as I can.
Please.
When we had our Patreon, we had a... I'm going to say super fan, Michelle.
Aww.
Michelle, like immediately when I set up the Patreon, she was like top tier, top level
awesome.
Patron the whole time. Even when I shut it down, she messaged me and was like, I still want to support you guys. Can I just keep giving you money? And I was like, please,
that's
no, don't.
So
like,
rad. But I like that.
It's awesome. Yes. Yeah. And I reached out and I was like, here's what I want to do. Once a year, I'll do a movie that you suggest. Just give it to me. I'll do it. So this was her choice.
I love it.
Yeah. So
I
every March, at some point in March, one
is
of
March
these
her birthday?
Or
is March just you picked it because it's the time of year that, you know.
I don't. When we would give that out as a tier where people could suggest a movie and we would do it. Mm-hmm. I think I just tried to space them out. So I don't know if this has anything to do personally with her, but yes. So
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know how deep the scheduling went with the when this one came out. But
you know.
But we've now have you seen it before?
I thought I had, but I'm wrong.
Wrong.
Because there is a You ready, yeah. Jamie? Prepare for this. There's a sequel to this.
Oh, I could see that making sense.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I can.
It is called Saturday the 14th Strikes Back.
Striking Back. And how are we on cast with that? We don't, how much?
Didn't even look into it, but there's a scene that I remember so distinctly where
somebody. Oh, so you saw part two.
Yes. Somebody is sculpting something out of mashed potatoes, which I think is a take on. Close Encounters, but
yes.
I've never seen Close Encounters.
Oh.
And I was just waiting for that scene to happen in this movie, and it never happened. And I was like, wait, I don't think this is the movie that I saw. But when you only remember one scene from a movie, you could get it confused with
the part one and the
anything.
Part two. Yeah,
yes.
Had you
seen this?
No, movie? No, no, okay. No, right. No, no. But.
Wow, you're... I have to say, your seeming enthusiasm has me a little bit surprised.
Really? You seem uncomfortable with it as well.
I I had so much trouble with this. I really did.
Well, I will say you texted me this morning and you said, because I was running late, and you said, yeah, well, it's probably because you're finishing up this dreadful, something about how it was hard to finish.
Are you having trouble finishing the
movie? What you said. You didn't use the word dreadful. Sorry.
No.
But I did. I did last. I watched the last 10 minutes this morning because throughout this movie, I was watching this movie in bed at the end of the day, long day, just behind the scenes, right? It happens. So, but it's cozy. It's comfy. I'm like, me and my dog, we're watching this movie on my little iPad screen. And I enjoyed some parts of it. I did, but there was we kept falling asleep. Right. Mm-hmm. And, it was that kind of movie that didn't keep you. It was like entertaining enough that I was like chuckling, and I thought there were some really funny.
There were. I was
goofy, funny parts, yeah. And the monsters. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. But I felt very Saturday Night the 14th about Saturday Night the 14th.
Well, it's not Saturday Night Fever or Live. It's just Saturday the 14th. I know it all happens at night.
I don't know. I think it might be a daytime party. I think they might be throwing a daytime party because it's still not.
Ends in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Like when the liquor store guy finally leaves, I was like, wait, it's like noon.
I love the liquor store guy.
Me too. Me too.
I love how they're like, we don't know him. No.
I love how the dad has an entire conversation with the family while he's sitting.
Oh, who's that?
We have to.
All right. So let's start it because
we are. All right. I'm going to tease this out.
All right. Tease.
We're familiar with his work behind the camera.
Oh. Huh. Okay. Oh. I've seen him before in front of the camera, though.
Yeah. We saw him once in front of the camera. Okay. And that movie is a hazy memory, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. All right. It's all that nutmeg.
It's all that, your frothy coffee that just gets you blasted.
Oh, man.
I got to try and
you're better than you think.
Page
you always...
long bit of notes I have.
You have a memory of we got sense. This. We okay. got this. All
right. I don't think it's that complicated. Wait,
let me take a sip of this froth.
No, of course. You need the energy to get you going.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies.